2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Everybody, or afternoon, whichever way you are listening, or whatever time you are listening. We've already butchered this intro, so we're going to get right to it. This is a special version of the DFS Army Daily Dispatch, and joining me every Wednesday from now until the end of time will be our main man, Mr. Scani. And what we're going to be doing is breaking down for you the CFL. That is not the Central Football League, as they would call it here in Oklahoma. That is the Canadian Football League. And props to DraftKings, man, actually releasing this. You know, baseball might be America's pastime, and it's my favorite sport by far, and it's not even close. But football, 100%, is king. And congrats to DraftKings for expanding out, reaching out, and going and grabbing something that, you know, is I think going to draw a lot of interest. Okay, Scani, how you doing today?
Dude, I'm doing good. I'm kind of wondering where my life is going. I'm breaking down Canadian football here, but I guess I'm kind of close to Canada, so you know we're gonna give it a whirl. I'm excited for some football. I don't care.
Yeah, no kidding. I have a little bit of an excuse. My grandmother is actually from Newfoundland, so she is Canadian, and I have Canadian blood in me. So that might be – combine that with Oklahoma and Arkansas, and maybe we have a little bit of an outline on why I'm so crazy. So
yeah, I think we should put an EUX on the end of your name from now on for CFL.
Yeah, that would be great. I love this. I'm actually really, really kind of excited for this because being with NBA and MLB, it's everything's about daily. You know, it's every day breaking down a slate, every day breaking down a slate, and it's extremely difficult to really get into any other sports, even if they are weekly. But with the CFL, you know, it allows you to kind of have time. Now, yes, I know everybody says, well, why not PGA too? Trust me, we're going to have Taco on. We're going to get some PGA analysis going because we're about halfway through the season. That will be coming as well. But with the CFL, I think this is something because we can reach out there for people, and it's something that hardly anybody's even touching on, which allows us to give you an edge. And I think that's extremely, extremely important when it comes to building your overall game theory and knowledge in DFS. Plus, I think that we might be able to take this knowledge and game theory as far as tournaments is concerned for CFL and kind of start to apply it to our NFL game a little bit as well.
Exactly. I mean, not only are we one of the only people offering this game breakdowns for Canadian football, but you know it's also a good primer for NFL. I mean, it gets you back in the swing, and the rules are pretty much the same as far as scoring on DraftKings. There's a couple nuances that are different, but I mean, you know, it gets you a little practice before NFL actually kicks off too.
Yep, it allows you to get into a daily routine on what to kind of analyze and kind of research. And we preach here at the DFS Army, you know, process over results, process over results. Well, since NFL is so huge, being with the CFL, this is going to allow you to kind of get into a process as well. Now, you mentioned some of the different rules and stuff, and I want to touch on some of them because in case some of our listeners don't know. The big thing is – we all know the field dimensions are different. You know, it's a wider field. It's a longer field. The end zones are 20 yards long. The goalposts are in the front of the the end zone rather than the back. You know, so there are some different nuances there as far as the field. But as far as the actual gameplay, okay, the first thing that people are going to notice, well, one of the first things that people are going to notice is instead of 11 men on the field, there are actually 12.
Yep.
The other thing is there is, I believe it's one or two, just like the Arena League, there's one or two offensive players that are allowed to move forward before the ball is actually snapped, which honestly gives, in my opinion, the offense a bigger edge.
Oh, yeah, you can't jam receivers at the line. It's really difficult to do that. I mean, you actually, you know, in four wide receiver sets, they actually have a thing called a split back, which is kind of like a slot back, which is actually kind of like a slot receiver in the NFL. But they can actually, you'll see on film, I mean, all four of the receivers are moving before the snap. It gets really crazy. I don't know how you can defend that. I mean, that's why the games are so fast-paced and high-scoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's that's something, and we'll touch to it when we get to, you know, start looking for some value here on, you know, the split back position and kind of how we can exploit that, because different teams view that position, you know, in different ways, which is kind of nice. The next thing that we're going to notice is that you only get three downs to get your 10 yards to get a first down, which is kind of weird. You know, there's no longer this three downs in a cloud of dust, or, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust thing. Everything is very high paced. And the second reason that is because the play clock's only 20 seconds.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, we see some of these college offenses that go no huddle and go really, really quick and up and there, and you're fast paced. This is going to be a lot like that.
Yeah, but it's actually 20 seconds from when they spot the ball. So it's not, you know, like NFL where they, you know, kind of after the play dies, you know, then they're already almost starting that play clock. So plus it's, what is it, 35 in the pros? In NFL?
40.
40 in NFL?
Yeah, it's 40. But it starts as soon as the last play ends.
Right.
So, you know, it kind of goes and, you know, gets everything going. But, you know, one of the funny things about what I've noticed with the CFL, just in watching, you know, I mean, come on, when it's the dog days of July and there's nothing going on and, you know, you get upon a CFL game and guess what? You kind of start watching it. There's actually 18 weeks before the playoffs.
Yep.
And this is something that the NFL is, you know, tried to do, but everybody's like, nah, we don't want to do this. We're worried about player safety. Well, I hate to say that Canadians don't give a shit, but Canadians don't give a shit.
Right. Well,
you
there's
know,
only
these guys.
They did it. I think they did it right. I mean, there's only two preseason games.
Yeah, exactly. Really, honestly, these guys that are playing Canadian football, okay, they are it's the closest thing to the minors that you are going to get in sort of football without going down to your semi-professional leagues that are littered throughout the country in the United States.
Right.
Which
you get ex-pros.
Some teams are good. You're going to get ex-pros. You're going to get college players that are trying to get into the pros, and they just want to get their viewing out there. So these guys are literally playing for to get viewed by the NFL, or they're playing for the love of the game, which, in my opinion, makes I mean, they're still getting paid. Don't get me wrong. But in my opinion, it makes everything so much better.
Yeah. And there's, so, you know, each team is only allowed to have so many internationals. I'm not exactly sure what that number is, but, you know, so you do get the home aspect too. And
yeah, they have to start at least, what is it, 7 or 8 Canadians on offense and defense. I'm looking. Oh, yeah, they have to start a total of at least 7 national or Canadian-born players between offense and defense. So
yeah, so I'm going to get blasted for saying this, but it's kind of like your co-ed volleyball team or softball team where you have to have so many women on your team. So
hey, there's been some great, great Canadian football players out there.
Yeah, there has.
So Here's the other big change is you're going to see what they call an open kick or open field kick. Okay, it's a legal play. It's allowed. It allows you to take a kick from anywhere on the field, meaning they don't really abide to the hash marks, which brings the next rule into play that we're going to really. It's something that a lot of people are already asking about. It's called a rogue or single. It's a single point, basically, and the breakdown of the rule is this. When a team is trying for a field goal, okay, if they get it through the uprights, they obviously get the 3 points. But if they kick it out of the back of the end zone, they get a single point. Now, what makes this rule a little bit interesting is the receiving team can either catch the ball and run it out and return it, basically, or they can catch the ball and kick it out.
Yep.
Which basically turns it back over to the kicking team, and then they have to try to kick it and kick it through the back of the end zone. If you're a part of the DFS Army already, there is a great video that I posted in the CFL channel that actually has the end of the Montreal-Toronto game last year that ended on a what they call a single touch is what I'm basically calling this. It was an attempted field goal followed by two open kicks, and then the kicking team ended up scoring a touchdown to win the game. It was actually kind of fun to watch, and it got me pumped. So nothing to add on that one.
No, I'm sorry. I actually haven't seen that video yet. But I have seen similar ones, so I know what you're talking about. So, you know, I just picture, you know, where you're, when you add the whole DraftKings aspect in fantasy sports, you know, you're sitting on, you know, this, you say you're sitting in first place or whatever in your tournament, and something like that goes down, and it just shoots you all the way to like 20th or something. So
yeah,
I can see where the sweats will be pretty either very up or very down if something
like
that
happens.
Yeah,
I can already imagine. I've got two views on the scoring that we're about to get to, but I can already imagine some team or some television sets being broken because of a field goal miss, two free kicks, and then somebody scores a touchdown and it costs them, you know, $8,000 or whatever the prize pool is. I can already see something going down like that. Let's get to some of the scoring here because there are some minor differences that we need to address. Most of the scoring on DraftKings is going to be very, very similar to your NFL scoring, which is going to make the transition very, very, very seamless. Okay, the two additions that we have are the point for the rogue. if your player gets it or not or whatever, which in my opinion is I like the fact that it's only 1 point because it devalues it significantly and it makes it to where I don't view it a lot like the win in baseball.
Right.
Because it's completely unpredictable.
Yeah, and you know, I can see difference because, you know, for like on FanDuel for MLB where you get 12 points for a pitcher getting a win. So,
yeah.
I mean, you're really kind of, you know, especially your cash games, you're leaning very, very heavily on that highly favored pitcher usually. So,
yeah. And you know, us as daily fantasy players, we don't like to have things thrown in there that are unpredictable. Sure, you know, bonuses, I like bonuses, but, you know, they're somewhat predictable. You know, it just as long as it's not a lot of weight put on there. And that's why I don't mind the fact a lot because a rogue scored is only 1 point. So that doesn't really bother me a lot or anything like that. It's basically like getting a sack, and it's for the defense only or the defense / special teams, okay?
Yep.
The other thing that we need to take basically account into is return yards, okay? Basically, for every 20 return yards that your player gets, you're going to get 1 point. So this puts an extra value on those receivers that are also involved heavily in the offense and that are also their return men. It's something we're going to get into. I don't know how many are actually involved. That's where we're going to rely on you.
Yep.
But it does add. So in NFL terms, a guy like a Darren Sproles would automatically be valued more than, you know, what you're saying. Now, the difference with this return yard is if your guy returns a punt for a touchdown, okay, your defense / special teams does not get the touchdown as well.
Yeah, it's just the single player that returned it.
Right, which is different than the NFL, where you can double dip. If say you've rostered Darren Sproles as your running back or your flex player, and he scores a touchdown, not only are you getting the points for that touchdown, but you're also getting the points for your special teams.
Yep.
In the CFL scoring, that is not.
Yeah, and that's a important thing to point out. You want to go into some game breakdowns?
Yeah, I'm reading this, and I'm wondering if we've got it wrong on that part. Because it says the following scoring players result in points allowed by your defense. They're talking about defensive scoring. Okay. We have it right on that.
Yeah, because it's only under the return yardage is only under the scoring for single players. It's not under the defense and special team scoring. So on DraftKings anyways.
Right. So you get points for the punt return TD. So you can double dip. You're just not getting points for the return yards.
Right.
For your defense special teams.
Right.
But you're going to get, if say you've rostered, we'll use Darren Sproles because I think he's the most notable. You can double dip like you can in the NFL. You're not going to get points for the yards on the defense. You're only going to get it on the player if you've rostered it, but you still get points as far as your defense / special teams. They still do get credit for the touchdown along with your player.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I kind of got the analysis is a little bit wrong.
Well, and that's okay because, this is a Canadian Football League. This is all new to DraftKings, so it's not like we've been playing this for years, you know, and there's going to be some little things like that, you know, we can kind of correct ourselves on. So,
yep, and I think that's a place where we can exploit it. So this is week one. There are... Evidently, from what I've been reading on some of the, you know, just the analysis from, you know, beat writers and stuff like that, the game breakdowns and stuff, there are evidently some heated rivalry matchups right out of the gate in week one. Let's start off with the Hamilton Tiger Cats versus a team that a lot of people probably know because they've been, you know, they've been in the the Grey Cup, which is their version of the Super Bowl. They've been there quite a long time or quite a lot. The Toronto Argonauts. I hope I'm saying that right.
Yes.
Okay. Hamilton is actually a 4.5-point dog.
Or if you're in Canada, it would be the Toronto Argonauts.
Argonauts. Toronto's a 4.5-point favorite. This total is at a 53. It is even money on the total. So, Vegas isn't expecting, you know, somebody to kind of go one way or another. Just to let everybody know though, the money line is a -200. So the juice is on Toronto at -4.5. I think as we break some of these players down, you're going to notice that you remember if you follow college football at all, you're gonna hear some names that sound familiar to you. So why don't you start us off with Hamilton?
Yeah, Hamilton. They're starting quarterback from last season, Zach Collaros. He actually is injured, and he will start the season on IR. And they are actually going to lean on Jeremiah Masoli.
He's former Oregon Duck.
He is. I mean,
right off the bat, baby.
So, I mean, you know, perfect CFL type quarterback. He can air it out in a faster paced games. I'm not really on him as far as him being an elite quarterback this week. I really think that he's really a GPP only for me, just because I think there's better options out there.
Okay.
And he's got a very good wide receiver in Luke Tasker. He's got some good upside, you know, but Simler can also lay a dud. So, I mean, he's not very consistent. And it all depends on how they attack Toronto. I mean, Toronto is favored in this one.
Yes.
But I see why the public made it kind of even, because I just don't see this thing being a blowout or anything, you know. So I think the running game is pretty safe in this one, as safe as it can be in the CFL. You know, you're going to want those pass-catching running backs. As far as the Tiger Cats are concerned, they have C.J. Gable. He's also a GPP. I mean, I'm really not on a lot of these guys for, you know, like if you want to play a cash game or something like that. Chad Owens, this is an interesting one too. He actually is one of their wide receivers, and he played for Toronto last year. So there's kind of a revenge narrative in that one. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of show him what's up. Got rid of me, I'm going to shove it in your face, you know. So he's somebody that I would also be on for GPP. And there's also, I think that's pretty much it for Hamilton. I mean, their defense is pretty good. Hamilton, I want to point out too, is one that, when they play at home, they're one of the tougher teams in the CFL to beat at their home stadium, but they are on the road. So I think that might have something to do with why Toronto's also favored.
Okay. I'm just looking over some of the stats from last year. And I'm looking at, in case you don't know, I'm on CFL.ca, and that is the CFL's official website. You know, where we do .com, they do .ca, and, mm-hmm. you know, just figure that out. But, you know, Hamilton, it looks like their leading rusher from last year was a guy named Ray Hawley, and he only had 309 yards rushing. But they had a guy named Jeff Matthews, who I'm also looking at here, is not even on the team anymore, I guess.
Right.
Because he's not in the player pool as a wide receiver or as a running back. He led them with six touchdowns. So do you think that we can find, as we go through these teams, some value on, like, say, your goal line backs, where we can vulture some short goal line touchdowns?
You know, we probably could, but I'm not exactly sure who those guys would be at this point. That might be something that once we get into the season a little further, we'll get a better grasp on that. One guy I really want to point out that I have on the cheat sheet, but I don't have in my normal write-up, is Brandon Banks for the Tiger Cats. He's actually a return specialist, and this guy is electric. From everything I've seen, read, he's the most electric return guy in the CFL. So he's somebody that if you want to spend the money on him, he's $5,700 on DraftKings. He'll give you a little salary relief compared to the other wide receivers. He might catch you a couple passes a game. It is PPR, but the guy can go for 100 to 200 return yards and a couple of touchdowns if he's able
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I remember.
So there's huge upside, low floor, you know.
Yeah, I remember Mr. Banks. He's actually a former Kansas State Wildcat. And he, of course, me being an OU Sooner, absolutely freaking let's just put it this way. If you pull up his, he was drafted by the Washington Redskins, and
that's who I was going to say. I thought drafted him, but
yeah, he kind of flamed out. Well, part of the reason was I don't know why or how, but they kind of couldn't wait on him. He was part of an unfortunate stabbing incident outside of DC nightclub back in 2011. So it's not something you have to worry about coming up. But, you know, he's really good friends with John Wall. He's got a 2-return touchdown game back in the 2014 season. In that season, it says that he recorded 1,968 combined yards during the regular season. So that would be receiving and returning. So, yeah, you're talking about a guy that he's got electric speed, man. Back in the 2010 combine, he ran a 4.37 40. So he's only 28 years old, and I former track and field guy, which is what Kansas State does. They bring those guys in for track and field scholarships, and they go crazy. So I love that idea.
Yeah, he's definitely somebody for a GPP tournament style. You know, huge upside, and 5,700 is, I mean, it's kind of middle of the road. I mean, it's not like he's dirt cheap or anything, but he does have that 2-touchdown upside as well.
Yeah, and especially if you want to, I don't know a lot about the defenses, and that's what I was about to ask you about next. But you know, especially if you want to talk about, you know, pairing them up with possibly the Hamilton defense.
Yep.
You know, that could be a double dip opportunity. Let's see here. Brandon Banks was third in punt or kick return yards last year, at 930, which I'm assuming is punts.
I'm actually showing 1800, almost 1800, 1766 in 4 touchdowns last year as a returner.
Huh.
That's what DK is showing anyways.
Yeah, I don't know.
For some reason, he's way better on the road. I don't know if that really applies to the kicking game, but...
I don't know. Anyways, he seems to be a very, very intriguing tournament option. Let me talk to you about... great.
Toronto? Awesome.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the Argonauts.
The Argonauts.
I'm trying to sound Canadian, and I almost do in my voice anyways. With
all you have to do
accent.
Is say A after every couple words.
Yeah. And so their quarterback, Ricky Ray, is an interesting one. He's actually up there. I think he's probably 35, 36 years old or something like that. He was injured last year late, and he should be healthy to start the year. But he's still, I believe it was a shoulder injury, if I remember correctly. But the Tiger Cats D, I mean, they've got a couple of ball hawks. I have a hard time rolling them out there in a, you know, if you're going head to head against somebody or, you know, in a 50-50 or something.
Yeah, somebody I've looked at, you know, I've read a lot of good things about as far as through the CFL website and stuff like that is, Torrey Gurley.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on him?
Well, Toronto, interesting thing here. I've got to find it. I don't want to get the name wrong. They do have, yes, Deontay Spencer, one of their main wide receivers, mm-hmm. Who had a lot of targets last year, mm-hmm. He'll start the year on IR with a lower back injury. So that I really like, really like the pass catching options around that, being that, you know, somebody's got to pick up his targets. You know, when they throw 30, 35 times a game, somebody has to pick those targets up. And I think Gurley will. Whitaker is another one out of the backfield as their running back. He'll get some carries. He'll get some catches out of the backfield as well. So that's another thing we're looking for in the CFL, being that it's a PPR league, you know, that being that, you know, they're basically taking a down away from us, but we can kind of get some of that back with, you know, using running backs that have that reception upside that they can catch those passes. and hopefully break one for a score or something like that. So,
somebody else that I want to get your opinion on that I had wrote down here to ask you about is Anthony Coombs for Toronto. From everything I've read, let me pull this up here just to make sure I don't misquote. You've got the traditional running back in Brandon Whitaker, but Anthony Coombs is actually he's listed as a running back on DraftKings, but he's actually their starting slot wide receiver. And the reason I say this is he only really technically had 9 carries last year for 38 yards.
Right.
But he had almost 500 yards receiving, and he had 74 targets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good option possibly for value.
For sure, yeah. At 4,500, that's what you're looking for. You know, a guy with, you know, that can catch 5-6 passes a game and hopefully break one.
Mm-hmm. Especially because, you know, the running games in the CFL, they're so limited. You know, if we can get the – and I go back because the only thing that – I mean – we can compare it a lot to, you know, you go back to Darren Sproles. If you can find a Darren Sproles in the backfield that's listed as a running back but actually lines up a lot as, you know, a wide receiver, then I love it.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And another receiver to point out that's actually fairly decent value is Vidal Hazelton. He should be another guy that'll pick up some of those targets that Spencer would have taken up.
Okay, so if you had to rank those three guys that we had talked about, as far as – let's go cash games first, and let's go tournaments between Gurley, Hazelton, and Coombs. Rank them for cash games.
Okay, 4 cash games?
Yes. Even though I'm a firm
believer
right now. Even if I don't
want to put them in cash.
Yeah, even though – well, I mean, you can say that. You know, even though I'm a firm believer right now going into a new sport, until we know more, I don't think you should be playing cash games.
No, not at all.
You should start out, and unless you know the CFL, you have followed it for years and years, and you feel like you have a very, very good knowledge, I think you should start out in tournaments. I'm not going to tell you what buying level, but I think you should start out in tournaments just until you can see kind of how the scoring is going to work, and you can kind of get an idea, and you know how some of these offenses kind of run.
Mm-hmm. So
that's my opinion.
So just on the Toronto side of the ball, ranking those?
Yes. Yeah. Out of those three players,
I think Gurley's probably the better one out of those.
Okay.
And then it's, I don't know, it's almost a toss-up. What's Hazelton's salary here?
Hazelton is
he's 6,600.
6,600.
Okay. You know, I'd almost be willing to put Coombs ahead of him, you know, for 2,100 cheaper, and he's fairly consistent. I mean, he's not going to get you a ton of points, but he can get you between 6 and 12, 13. That's not that bad for that salary. That's almost 3 times. You know, if he hits his upside, if he gets in the end zone, that's even better. But, I mean, it's more of a punt to put some of these, you know, higher targeted wide receivers in your lineup. Or a, you know, quarterback like Riley or Glenn that we'll get to, or Burris that we'll get to later.
Okay. Yeah, it says that Hazelton here, he had 2 catches for 31 yards and a touchdown in the final preseason game. I don't put a lot of oomph on preseason because, you know, they probably take him off. But he did have 70 catches for 803 yards and 6 TDs last year, and they're expecting him to kind of take that next leap forward. So this is a guy that I think that possibly we could be looking at a 1,000-yard receiver, and maybe if we're lucky get close to that 10 touchdown mark.
Right. And I think a lot of that leans on Ricky Ray staying healthy too. So, you know,
and another
thing to point out is
probably Deontay Spencer comes back as well.
Right. And they did get rid of Owens, you know, as I mentioned earlier, they did get rid of Owens to keep him basically. So they put him ahead of Owens in their, on their roster anyway. So.
Yep. And, you know, that, I think that's, there's some good points in there. I think there's some good plays. Guys, one thing, as far as strategy is concerned, especially since this is new and everything like that, you are going to see in tournaments people basically, and your typical NFL rules, you know apply. You don't want to play a naked quarterback unless it's probably in cash. In tournaments, you want to try to maximize that upside. I think the CFL, we can really get used to double dipping as far as returning in defenses, which is going to help us, you know, when we move into NFL. But don't stack this game just to try to get some action, you know, from these players. You know, you don't have to. This is by far, it's one of the higher totals. In fact, it is the highest total.
Yes.
Okay. But there are some other good plays in the rest of these games that we're going to get to. You know, don't feel like you have to play everybody from this game just so you can see how it goes. You'll be able to kind of watch and look and, you know, how other teams kind of handle things throughout, or how other teams, how players kind of perform just by looking at other people's scores throughout the night as well. So I want to point that out because you're going to see a lot of people load up on these guys, because they're the first game. So I think their ownership levels are going to be a little bit higher. So if we kind of mix in and out, you know, who we think are the better plays and possibly some value, I think we can gain an edge with some lower ownership players in some of these games throughout the week. So
exactly. And I think that game is actually aired on ESPN News tonight. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's on ESPN News. Starts at 6:30 tonight. And I have, just because I want to watch this game, and I've actually will be watching the Rockies game, I am going to
break out the old DVR
and add the extension of an hour, and it is now set to record.
There you go.
Because I definitely don't want to be watching Frisbee.
I am going to be doing the same thing, actually, too, because I've got a prior commitment that I got to go to, so I've got it DVR'd already as well. So I'll be watching that later tonight.
Yep. All right, let's move on to the next game. It's actually tomorrow night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. It's the Montreal Alouettes versus the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. These are two teams that we've probably heard of as well, and I think that this is a great, great, great game to get some lower-owned players,
yes.
Mainly because the total is still right there about 50. But it's a close game.
Right.
So if we were going to do like a game stack as far as tournaments, I think this is where we can attack it, because there's less risk of a blowout, like we'll talk about in the next game.
Yes, and I actually have a stack from this game in one of my lineups currently. And the reason for that is because I honestly almost see this similar to, do you remember the Saints and Giants game last year where they just went bonkers?
Oh, my God. I had that game stacked four different ways. I had Breeze. I had that was actually probably my fourth biggest week in the NFL last season.
Yeah, I see that similar situation to this. I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but I see it like it's a similar scenario that I could see it happening.
Yeah, the juice, the one thing that scares me about doing this is I like the total there at 50. I like the spread at 2.5 favoring the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But the juice, now it's not huge, but the juice is actually on the under.
Mm-hmm.
It's a -112 money line for the under at 50. So that scares me just a little bit, but not enough for me to deviate from the making sure that I grab a lot of people from this game.
Right. And, you know, some of these guys are a little cheaper, too. And then you can get some
that's
guys
I,
from
I,
some of the other games
the
we'll talk
why
about.
I love it.
Yeah.
So let's start with the Montreal Alouettes here. Talk to me about their quarterback, Kevin Glenn.
Yep. He's a veteran in the league. He actually played – I think he's almost played for every team in the CFL, actually. I'm dead serious, too. I mean, he's, you know, and that's something that I like to look for as well. Is, I mean, the guy's a veteran. He's typically not going to make stupid mistakes, but his receivers could hang him out to dry as well, you know, if they're not on the same page. So it's not all in the quarterback, but I don't mind him. I actually have him in a GPP lineup because I think a lot of people are going to gravitate towards some of the other stud quarterbacks. But I just like being able to put him in a lineup and being able to spend up for some of the receivers for, say, like Edmonton, where we'll talk about them. But I like to be able to get both of those receivers in there. But, you know, it's very, very hard to fit the quarterback in there. So I like ping-ponging around a little bit and getting Glenn in there with some of his receivers, which one of them is Daron Carter. And he has a pretty good pedigree behind him, I would say. That is actually Chris Carter's son.
Yeah, I've made one lineup so far, and I will make more, but I've made one lineup, and he is Daron Carter is in my lineups.
Yeah.
So I think the name, and when people understand that he's Chris Carter's son, is going to make his ownership percentage go up.
I think so.
But the fact that he didn't play last year because he was trying to catch on with the NFL might make his ownership percentage go down a little bit more.
I think it will, too.
So it'll kind of offset itself,
yep,
if that makes any sense.
Their running back is Tyrell Sutton. He's actually in a pretty decent spot. You know, with the spread as close as it is, I don't see him leaning as heavily on the passing game as if they were trailing by a bunch. So, I mean, he's a pretty safe bet to get, you know, his share of carries or passes out of the backfield or whatnot. So I think he's a fairly safe play. And then there's SJ Green, and for $6,700, that's a fairly decent value as far as compared to some of the, you know, the higher priced studs out there. So I don't mind him at all. And he actually has, let's see, the last two times they played Winnipeg, that was actually last season, in total for the two games, he went for 224 yards and a touchdown in two games against Winnipeg. So I guess he likes playing against Winnipeg, and they don't, quite frankly, none of these defenses scare, neither of these defenses scare me at all. So
yeah, I want to touch on Tyrell Sutton here. Those that follow college football might know a little bit about his pedigree. He rushed for 1,474 yards and 16 touchdowns as a freshman. That was back in 2005. He was a Big Ten Freshman of the Year. He was one. He fell one game short of joining Emmitt Smith, Marshall Faulk, and Adrian Peterson as the only NCAA freshman players to achieve 1,000 yards in seven games. So he's got a little bit of talent.
I would say so.
He was injured on and off throughout the rest of his career, and just could never really kind of. I mean, he. He was on and off the field with some hamstring problems as a sophomore. He looks like he tore ligaments he had a cracked shin his junior year, and then had a wrist injury his senior year. So he's Northwestern's all-time leading rusher, or second. He's second as their all-time leading rusher, second in all-purpose yards. Does he do any sort of returning?
Sutton, I don't have him down as a returner. I do have him as one of my more elite plays, though.
Okay.
Just because I like the spread on the game, you know, and I think he's going to be able to see more. He's more reliable. Let's just put it that way. I think.
Do we see a lot of we would call it like a four-minute offense in the NFL, where if a team is up later in the game, they'll run the ball to try to grind the clock. Do we see a lot of that in the CFL?
Well, you only get three downs. So, I mean, you can't – it's not
– if I've got a running back that can get me, you know, 5.5 yards per carry, I only need two.
Well, yeah.
So I understand what you're saying, but
– you get one less down, you know, so basically – I mean, you only have two downs to get it, you know. So I mean, I don't see it happening as much. I mean, obviously, when you're trying to burn some clock, you got to do whatever you can. But I just don't see it happening as much as it does in the NFL.
Okay. Yeah. It was just really a.
No.
Go ahead.
No, I was.
It was really a question.
Yeah, as far as your question on Sutton, I don't have him for any return yards. So he's not one of their guys, and plus I don't think they want to get him banged up either.
All right, let's
go to Winnipeg.
Let's go on to Winnipeg here.
I do not know how to pronounce this guy's name. I'm sure I'll probably get it wrong, but Drew Wiley. He's their quarterback.
I went with Willie. Just
yeah, Willie. He's their quarterback. He was actually injured some of last year, and he's 9,600 on DraftKings. I mean, I don't mind it if you're going to kind of stack this game a little to kind of handcuff him with some of his wide receivers.
Okay.
The only thing that really makes, you know, I was kind of off of him right away just because of that salary, but then their running back, who they just picked up this year, played for the BC Lions last year, and he actually led the league in rushing with 1,039 yards. Or, I'm sorry, second in rushing with 1,039 yards.
Which is funny to hear because, you know,
I know.
We think 1,000-yard backs as, like, you know, 15 or 20. You know, there's, like, 10 to 12 1,000-yard backs in the NFL every single year. And we're saying, okay, 1,000-yard back, he's number two in the league.
Yep. And I think he's, so. I mean, you know, he's obviously a threat. So it makes me like Willie a little more based on the fact that they're going to have to cover the guy. So, you know, and if they hand the ball off to him on a play action or something, you know, then it's going to make him creep up a little. So I think he has an impact. So that's why I like Wiley a little more than I probably would in this. And then I'm also looking at like a Ryan Smith. He is kind of a value GPP type play. He's going to get you maybe 4 to 6 catches a game. You know, he's got some touchdown upside. You know, I'm honestly not sure who the hell returns kicks for these guys. I've been looking, and I just can't – I don't know if they just don't have a solid guy set there to return or if they just kind of piece it up a little bit. That's just something that we'll have to figure out as the season goes on.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something worth paying attention to. It's going to be a lot of fun to kind of see exactly how these guys that we're probably not even thinking of kind of look. And guys, I understand I'm getting into this for the first time. I'm diving into this as much as I possibly can today. MLB is kind of a little easy for me today. But I have not found a lot of really good statistical sites other than CFL, the actual CFL website.
Right.
But it's not like they have them broke down a lot. Are really good. You know, I'm sitting here going through and I'm looking at it, and a guy for, you know, it's not as in depth as we would like it for DFS purposes.
Right.
So,
and I think it just is what it is. You know, it's, you have some of your studs and there's other teams that it's really spread out. You know, because it's four, five wide stuff, and the ball's going to get spread out. I mean, you have a quarterback let me see, what the hell is his name? but he threw for Burris. He threw for, what the hell was it here? Almost 5,600 yards, was it?
Yes.
And he actually, let me see, I'm actually pulling it up. He actually had, okay, so who TSN basically ranks in the CFL as the number one quarterback, who's Mike Riley, had 329 pass attempts. Henry Burris had 678 pass attempts last year. So,
wow.
Yeah, they air it out, you know, so like I said, it basically is what it is. You know, the reason we don't find that many stats is because it's the CFL. You know, it's not as highly covered as any other, you know, obviously the NFL, not even close. So, I mean, it just is what it is. You're going to have to bear with us, and we're just trying to help. So,
yep. And I think we're going to be able to, really, really start getting some of these these things taken care of, and the sooner that we can start to, you know, get onto tendencies for teams and stuff like that, the bigger advantage that we're going to have, and that's, you know, ultimately what we're trying to bring you. So, anybody that we should be, I saw a tweet from one of the Montreal beat writers, and he pointed out that Montreal will be starting two rookie defensive backs this year.
Yeah, I actually saw that too. And I don't know if that really scares me.
I think it draws a little bit more interest to S.J. Green and Durant Carter. So
it does, but so. At the same time, it is a CFL, and a lot of those guys don't have that much experience either. So, you know, it's
or talent.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. all right, let's move on to Ottman and Edmonton here. I think this is a very, very interesting game. I want to point out that this line is a 6. Edmonton is they're the Eskimos. The Ottawa Red Blacks and the Edmonton Eskimos. It's 51.5 total, 52.5 total, and it is a 6-point spread. The juice is basically on the over, so Vegas basically thinks this game is going to become a shootout, and it could be a very, very, very fun game. And this starts at 7 p.m. Central on or 7 p.m. Eastern on Saturday.
Yeah, and this is exactly the guy I was talking about earlier that I just mentioned. Ottawa's quarterback is Henry Burris, and like I said, 678 pass attempts last year, 5,693 yards, 26 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. I mean, that's tied for the league lead, I believe, in touchdown passes, and, I mean, way ahead in attempts, so...
Yeah, it's. I mean,
definitely
you've
has,
got a guy that's throwing almost 6,000 yards.
Yeah, and
I would say he's on your radar.
Yeah, for sure.
He's like the Aaron Rodgers of the CFL.
Exactly. Hey, now.
So, I think if you were playing cash games, I think this is where you need to go with quarterbacks. One thing I have noticed, and this is just kind of a little bit of a tidbit, these CFL quarterbacks, man, there's 4 of them on pretty much every single roster.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of these guys get hurt, not get hurt, but I've heard a lot of them taking more of a beating than in the NFL, where you know you just have the stupid leg, knee, non-contact injuries and
right.
stuff like that.
I just
that,
attribute so. That to remember when Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone?
Yeah,
and against the Bears, I believe that was. Well,
yep.
The offensive line was held together by duct tape, and that's basically what every offensive line in the CFL is duct tape. I mean, well, you think about it. If they were
no,
if they were really good,
sense.
They'd be blocking for a NFL quarterback, not.
Yeah, if you have, and it's not saying, you know, maybe somebody's got to go over there working on the footwork or whatever, you know, they get overlooked or, you know, what. I'm not saying that there aren't talented offensive linemen in the CFL, but, you know, there are definitely a larger
so there's a large
there's a larger talent pool on the defensive line side than there is on the offensive line side. I would say so
in linebackers as well.
Yep.
So Burris is a guy that's he's got 6 touchdown upside. He's obviously a GPP play. I mean, as high as they come, you know, he's got that ability to score you a lot of points.
Yeah, and the problem that I see with this is, you know, there's not really one guy that he particularly favors.
Right. So
he's got 4 wide receivers, and he spreads them out. So if you play college football DFS, then this is something that you're definitely going to have to kind of – watch out for, see where some of these matchups are, because you'll notice like these guys, these mid-major conference college football teams, they kind of spread out the ball, you know,
right.
Whoever's open,
I think
let's go.
Your best bet for an approach would be if you're going to roster Burris, I think you need to mix and match his receivers. I don't think there's any other way around it. Otherwise you're just kind of hoping.
Yep. I think that's a great strategy. Burris is a great play, and then just kind of, you know, I wouldn't even be opposed to pairing 2 of them up, you know, going with I'm going to probably butcher his name, Sinopoli.
Yep.
Sinopoli. Go with the Sinopoli and Ernest Jackson. You know, because we have no idea.
Chris Williams. Ellingson, you know,
Chris
is another
Williams.
One.
Yeah, Greg Ellingson.
Chris Williams actually has the return yards upside too. So he's another guy that is more attractive to me because of that. He's a little safer.
That's what I was going to ask. So Williamson is, he's got return yard upside because I like that. And I also like, I don't like either defense in this game.
No.
So just going by the Vegas lines. All right, let's go to Edmonton here.
Defending champs. They've got a great quarterback, and actually, interesting thing about them, their head coach now actually was, I believe he was Ottawa's coach, offensive coordinator last year, and they run a massively fast offense.
Similar
to like something Chip Kelly would run. It's just super fast-paced. So,
oh, you're talking about Mike Riley?
Mike Riley's their quarterback, but their coach...
He's not even in the player pool.
Mike Riley?
Yeah. Oh, never mind. He's my quarterback. And
yeah,
that's why
he's not in the pool, yeah. So Jason Moss is actually their head coach now, and he's actually a Wisconsin native, believe it or not. Shout out to the homie there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so I think he's going to bring it. I mean, this offense was really good last year, obviously, and I think he's just going to bring an even higher-paced offense to Edmonton. And so you look at those 178 pass attempts by Burris last year, well, most of that was because of that pace of offense. So Riley's just going to reap full benefits from this, I think, along with he has the two best receivers in the CFL, and it's even, you know, they're even ranked right up there on, you know, like the top 50 players in the CFL. That's Adarius Bowman and Darrell Walker.
Yes. Adarius Bowman is somebody that, if you remember, lit up college football and kind of flamed out in the NFL. He's, oh my goodness. He was, I know him because he was an Oklahoma State Cowboy. I mean, him and Prentice Elliott are both great Oklahoma State Cowboys. That just Prentice is actually playing for a local team here, and he's still lighting it up. But you know, Adarius Bowman was a guy that I immediately kind of flocked to. Another guy on this roster that I'm very interested to see how they use is a former USC Trojan, Joe McKnight. Evidently, he kind of lit it up in the final preseason game. Had 10 carries for 122 yards, including an 85-yard touchdown. And this is his first year in the CFL. So there's not a lot of what I would say.
Right. Well,
tape. But he's kind of, from what I've been reading, he's slotted to be one of their main return options.
He should be, and I like the upside with the return game. And I also like him even more because their running back, John White, actually missed all of last season with a ruptured Achilles. So it's not like they're just going to say, hey, here you go, have at it. You know.
Shakir Bell.
Shakir Bell. He's another one that could probably get some carries, you know, because I'd be hard pressed to think that they're going to roll White out there and just let him have at it with a ruptured Achilles last season. You know, they're probably going to try to baby him back into it, and that's why I like those guys even more. I think I'm all over that, especially when you're looking for value.
Yeah, I think that I like Joe McKnight. I loved his electric. He still has that burst. You know, for whatever reason, he just wasn't kind of, you know,
and
there.
I believe McKnight is, let me see,
he's 3,500,
which is amazing. Because if you're going to try to, yes, he is on the same team, but if you're going to try to fit both of those stud receivers in there in Walker and Bowman, and you want to, if you're going to try to get Riley in there, or you know, to just fully stack it, I mean, that's probably your best bet, because you're not going to find a player that's similar to 3,500 with McKnight's upside either. So I think that's a great strategy.
I love it. I would love it more if, you know,
if they were the ones playing catch up.
Not only that, I would love it more if, you know, I didn't see, well, I mean, it is Edmonton. They are the largest favorite. You know, I could see pairing Joe McKnight up with Edmonton's defense, possibly. Yes, I know Ottawa and, you know, Henry Burris, and we just said that he's the Aaron Rodgers of the NFL and blah, blah, blah. But I don't mind it because of the fact that, you know, they're one of the lower scoring totals other than the BC Lions, who we'll get into here in just a second. I don't mind it as a possible double dip opportunity.
Yeah, me either. I think it's a good strategy.
Cool. Calgary and BC Lions, Calgary Stampeders. This total is at a 48, is the lowest one of the night. It's Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern. The thing that stands out to me in this one is the name Bo Levi Mitchell.
Yeah.
That's just because I like the guy. I like the name.
Yep.
And he looks like a strapping, handsome young man.
Yeah, with a tribal tat. Big-ass tribal tat on his arm. So what's not to love, right?
Yeah, exactly. So tell me a little bit about this game.
You hit it right there with Bo Levi Mitchell. He was second in the league, I believe, in pass attempts last year and tied with Burris for touchdowns. I mean, he threw for 4,500 yards, 26 TDs. You know, he had 555 pass attempts. So they're going to air it out. The knock on this one, though, is – even, you know, we brought up offensive lines earlier, but I guess Calgary's line is starting the season with a couple of their main guys out, so they're kind of thin on the front line. So he could be running for his life, which makes me not love him so much, because I just don't see him having time to throw the ball. So, you know, you think game strategy, you're going to probably hit up some of those guys that get a lot of targets in the short passing game. You know, in the running backs out of the backfield, which brings up another guy in Jerome Messam. He's one of the better running backs in the league, and he also catches passes out of the backfield. So, I think he's a solid option if you're talking about, you know, receivers or running backs getting catches, and you know, Mitchell not having much time to throw the ball.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you on that front. You know, it's something that we're going to have to look for, and something that we're going to have to pay a lot of attention to. And I keep throwing it out there. I do got to look at my boy, possibly a return guy, Mr. Roy Finch.
Yep.
What do you think?
Like you said, you know, the return upside. He's probably not somebody you're going to pair with their defense. Obviously, because I don't see Calgary winning this one. I just don't. I just think Mitchell's going to be under pressure the whole time. So, which, you know, like.
I think at 4,600, he's a guy to watch. Maybe if you're multi-entering, he's a guy to throw in one or two GPP teams. But I'm definitely not, you know, I'm not advocating my sooner love. So you can go out and roster this guy. But I will let you know, as a former Sooner guy, this guy is shifty. He's got electric speed, and he has the abilities to really, really, really excel, I think, in this type of game, because that's what he did in college at the University of Oklahoma. So catching those short passes. They actually used him a lot in the running game, and he was shifty enough. You know, they're loaded there with P. Ryan and, you know, Mixon and stuff like that. But Roy Finch was in the mix there for a while as kind of the change of pace back. He's kind of a Darren Sproles type. We used him on kickoffs. I mean, he's got a lot of potential. He wasn't used enough at Oklahoma in order to get a lot of NFL looks. But I think that he could have a very, very good career in the CFL and be very successful. And I think he's one to possibly play if you're making a lot of teams, but definitely watch.
Yeah, and I like it because he's, I mean, a lot of people are going to gravitate to these people that, you know, the stats are up for, you know, and
that's another thing I was kind of
the limited, the very limited. You think about it, there's so much limited information out there. You know, it's basically just the TSN site or the CFL site. So the people who are listed as league leaders on those sites are probably going to be the higher owned ones on the slate. So if you can find those guys like the Finch or guys like that, you know, that fly under the radar, you're going to, and they produce, you're going to be way ahead.
Yep. Let's talk about the BC Lions here a little bit.
Yes.
This is, from everything I've read, this is a team that's going to be just lucky to kind of compete throughout the year. You know, their quarterback, Jonathan Jennings, was, I guess, okay in college.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't great, but he wasn't standout, for whatever you want to call it. I mean, he went to Saginaw Valley State.
Yeah.
I mean, should that really kind of give you a little bit of an idea?
Yeah, there's,
I think
not
he's just
really
biding
that much
his time.
Yeah, there's not that much to love on this side, honestly. I do like a couple of plays, though, you know, because I said that Mitchell's going to be under fire the whole game if they, you know, because they should be able to get pressure on him with that offensive line. So, you know, it's, you could take a GPP flyer with BC Lions. I actually like that defense a lot for, you know, the fact that they might be able to force some turnovers. You know, pressure causes turnovers. So, and I, the reason I like them even more in this game scenario is because they should be kicking a lot to BC, and they have I believe his name is Bobby Rainey. Is it Bobby Rainey? But he is, last time they played Calgary, he actually returned two kicks for touchdowns.
Chris Rainey,
yes. But he actually returned two kicks for touchdowns, so that makes me like him a lot more with that defense if they can happen to pull something out. You know, it's obviously a GPP strategy, but it's something to look into.
Yeah, absolutely. These teams that don't have really good offenses, this is a guy that actually, you know, played for the Steelers for a year. He played for the Cardinals, the Colts. So he has some NFL experience. You know,
The other guy that I'm okay with rostering is Emmanuel Arsenault. He went for almost 1,200 yards last year, and he had 9 scores. So he definitely, you know, 76 receptions. So, I mean, in a league that tends to spread it out, you know, 76 receptions is pretty respectable. So I think that he is one to definitely target in that game.
Yep, the two running backs that you're probably going to see the most of is Chris Rainey, who went to the University of Florida, so you probably recognize that name, and Jeremiah Johnson,
yep,
who also was a big-time college player.
We all know what Florida recruits is speed, so.
Yeah, exactly. Want to go to the wide receiver part here, and then we'll kind of wrap it up a little bit. Shaq Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I think is extremely, extremely interesting because.
What is his salary?
$3,500.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Especially, you know, like I said, you're looking for value and you want to pack some of these, you know, bigger studs in your lineups in some of the higher scoring games. So I love it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's. Look, this is a guy that coming out of college, I like his talent. He's extremely talented. was not going to catch on in the NFL. He's extremely fast. But if we're talking about a guy that does not really have the IQ to run routes that well. He was more of a run far and let's hope that you catch it.
Well, which suits his game, you know, in the CFL, because, you know, he can run up to the line in motion and get a running start. So
yes,
there's that.
Yes. Yes, he does. So he's going to be somebody to kind of watch. I believe he went to Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember. I can't remember off the top of my head. So
another punt that I don't mind is his name is Sam Giguere, I believe is the best way I can pronounce it. He actually plays for the Alouettes. Montreal. Yeah, Alouettes. So
sorry, this is not the Shaq Johnson that I was thinking of. He's actually locally born.
Oh, okay.
He's from Brampton, Ontario. Went to school in London. Not London, England, London, Canada. So he's not the guy that I was thinking of, but...
Well, fuck him then.
So I like the name.
Yeah, he's got cool name. But
so,
the guy I was talking about that plays for the Alouettes is Sam Giguere. He's a wide receiver. Good GPP punt, in my opinion, you know, in a spread-out offense. $3,800. I mean, if you're like another guy for value, if you're looking to punt a position a little bit and hope he scores, it's definitely something to look to. And he does see plenty of targets, too, so.
Good. That's something that we're going to, you know, try to watch for is I want to see targets. I want to see targets by return men as well so we can kind of double-dip on some value. So,
yeah.
Anything else really to kind of pay attention for?
I guess just watch a game.
Yeah.
You know, watch a game. You'll be even more in the flow than most of the country. You know,
yep.
Because this
and
stuff
is
very
that.
Rarely aired until this year. So,
yeah, we've talked about that a lot. You know, watching games allows you to get a leg up on some of the competition, especially if you know football. Kind of watch this and see what you can glean from it. So
yeah, the only other thing that was ever aired on TV would be the Grey Cup. They would usually air that,
yep.
And that's about it.
Yep. So, all right.
You want
me to? That's gonna.
You want me to quick rank the defenses of what I have them?
Oh yes, I'm so sorry. Yes.
You know, I have the BC Lions as one, but that is more of a GPP thing for that reason because, like I said, you know earlier, they can get. Hopefully they can get that pressure on Mitchell and make him flustered.
Right.
And I like that return guy in Rainey. So that's more of a GPP. I wouldn't put too much credibility in that one just because I just love the upside. And then I have Hamilton, and then I have Edmonton, and then Ottawa, then Calgary, and then Toronto, and then Winnipeg, and then Montreal. So that definitely the two last ones are the ones playing, I believe, in the first game tonight. Yes. So, or wait. But anyways, Montreal and Winnipeg, I don't have any faith in either of those defenses. So.
Okay. Yeah, I have no analysis on that. I can't really.
No, I guess we'll see how it shakes out. I could fall flat on my face on that analysis of defenses, but I just don't take too much stock in defenses in the CFL. So,
yeah, it's like Big 12 defenses.
Right.
There we go. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. I know we went a little bit long, but I thought we had a lot of great points and kind of touched on a lot of cool things. So I think it's going to be fun, man. So good luck to you. Good luck to everybody out there. If you have some questions and you're part of the DFS Army, make sure you jump into Slack. You can hit us up on Twitter. Scotty, why don't you give everybody your Twitter address or your Twitter name?
It is actually Nick Steig. That is STEIG.
Awesome. Make sure you follow him. You can find him on my account, that's Boomers DFS Daddy, or the DFS Army account, that's at DFS Army. That's going to do it for us today, man. Good luck to you.
Peace.